Glad my sea has been, my sins have been cast into the depths of the sea, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Never to be remembered again. What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to Proverbs 29, verse number 18. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. This is such a familiar passage of Scripture. It seems like we use it so many times, but it fits this purpose so wonderfully tonight. This wise man was writing, and he says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish." We have it written on our back wall. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We hear it. We read it, but we've got to believe it. And we've got to practice it. And we've got to go forward following the Lord. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's pray. Father, may thy will be done. We need thee. We recognize that need. I know, O Lord, I can't do this in myself or in the energy of my flesh. But Lord, if I'll be divinely enabled by Thee, I can preach Thy Word with power, with unction. And I trust, O Lord, that that's exactly what will take place. We give this time to Thee. Our hearts have already been stirred in music tonight. But Lord, I pray Thy Word will go into the depths of our lives and help us to see what You would have us to see. Help us to understand what You would have us to understand and help us to do what You would have us to do. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for what's accomplished. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I've already said tonight that when we see this word vision here, we need to have an understanding. It does not mean some wild, far out thing that just comes out of the blue. Vision means revelation. Means God's revealing Himself to us. And that's what God wants to do tonight. Where there's no revelation of God, where God is not revealing Himself to us, the people perish. Where God's not revealing Himself through us, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish. And what we need tonight is to have a revelation from God, for God to reveal His will and His way and His work to us. And to understand that when we get in on God's work, we're in on the greatest work in all the world. I read of a shoe salesman that went to Africa years and years ago, and he wired back the manufacturer, and he said, "I want to come home. Nobody wears shoes in this part of Africa." They sent another salesman over there after this one came home, and he kept sending back order after order after order. For pairs of shoes. And he wrote his home office and he said, "Everybody here needs shoes." There's a difference, isn't there? Sometimes we look and we see and we say, "Well, it just can't happen. You know, there's nobody." But what we need to be doing is looking and seeing that it can happen. Everybody needs the Lord here. Everybody needs to hear about Jesus. Everybody needs a gospel tract handed to them. Everybody needs a knock on the door. Everybody needs to be picked up by a bus. Everybody you work with needs the Lord. It's not about, "Well, you know, nobody wants to listen." We need to go get to the point where we're going to tell whether they listen or not. We're going to have this vision. We're going to have to be able to reveal God to others. Where there is no vision, where God's not revealing Himself to us and through us, then, dear friends, the people perish. In 1845, First Baptist Church of Augusta, Georgia, they put a plaque on the wall and it said, "Men who see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe the incredible, and think the unthinkable." That's men with vision. That's men who sees what God wants us to see. Who's willing to do what it is that God wants us to do. Who's willing to work the way that God wants us to work. Moody was on his deathbed, and we all have heard the famous words that he said. "You know, if you hear that Moody's dead, don't believe a word. I'm more alive than ever before." You know, I love that story. But there's another story about him being on his deathbed and coming down to the end of his days and speaking to his sons. And this is what Moody said as he was speaking to his sons as he was lying on his deathbed. He said, "If God be your partner, make your plans large." And I like that. If God be your partner, make your plans large. Moody was a man of vision. And tonight I believe we need to have this vision, because where there is no vision, the people perish. Brother Chris, I want to ask you to come up here just for a second and do something for me. I have in my hand, can you all see this little plastic piece of plastic that I have? Can you all see anything inside that piece of plastic? I start to say you've got very good eyes if you can. Some of you may have that good of eyes. Chris, you see that?
Yes.
I want you to go and I want you to show this to people. I mean, you know, just go down through the aisles where they can look over and see that there is a seed right there. And you can show it. You can even point to it if you want to. Yes. All right, that'll be good. And I want you to see that. If we're going to have a vision tonight, we need to have a vision to multiply. To multiply. Now, you're taking too much time. So, you know, that's good. Just let people see that there is a seed. Can you see that seed? Does everybody see that seed? I want you to see something that the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 24. I'll read it. You can turn there and mark it if you'd like. The Bible says, "Verily, verily," John chapter 12, verse 24, "Verily, verily," Jesus is speaking. He says, "I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Did y'all see that? Did everybody see that? Y'all see that? I want you to see it. I should have had one for everybody, but I didn't have time to do that because the Lord revealed to me that I'm preaching this message tonight, today. It says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Tonight we have to have a vision to multiply. Do you realize that this one corn of wheat that you looked at, if it's planted and it dies and it's harvested properly, could eventually feed the entire world? Isn't that amazing? You plant it, it dies, it brings forth fruit. Then you plant what it brings forth, dies, it brings forth more fruit. That's the miracle of the ministry, is the miracle of multiplication. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be dying to self so that we can bring forth fruit. And when we die to self, what will happen is we'll begin to bring forth fruit and it'll begin to multiply. Before you know it, you've reached a multitude of people. And there was a time when that was the norm. In the early days of the church, that's the way it was. They were dying to self. And thousands of people were being added to the church daily because they were multiplying. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And we're going to see this process, this progress that's made. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. Notice what the Bible says. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Chapter 2, verse number 47. It says, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now it's added, it's not multiplication. In chapter number 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now I want you to turn with me to chapter number 6. See, this is the beginning, if you will. This is This is the early church, the New Testament church started with Christ and His disciples. He was empowered on the day of Pentecost, which is what we're reading of here in these early chapters, in this transitional period, these first several chapters of the book of Acts. Now we've seen chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. And in those days when the number of the disciples multiplied. You see that? They went from adding to multiplying. Now I think all of us begins to understand multiplication will add up a whole lot quicker than just addition, right? We begin to see that 3 plus 3 is 6, but 3 times 3 is 9. You understand the difference, right? 12 plus 12 is what? 12 times 12 is what? See, I made it easy for you. What's 13 times 184? No, I'm just kidding. But we see this multiplying. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 9, verse number 31. The Bible says, then the churches then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You see that? And then I want you to see chapter number 12, verse number 24. The Bible says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Tonight, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to be a place where people are being reached, we must have a vision, and we must have a vision to multiply. We've got to be willing to die, in other words. We've got to be willing to be planted in the ground to self so that we can rise up and bring forth much fruit to multiply. That's what we as a church are supposed to be. We're supposed to be multiplying. We're supposed to be working at it. And we're supposed to have a vision to do this. God is revealing Himself to us in His Word that we are to multiply. Too many churches like our church, and I'm going to say something here. I'm going to say this, but then I'm going to verify what I'm saying. Too many churches like us have a small church mentality. Now, I think we're blessed to not have that here. We try to do things right. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to just throw something together and say, well, that's good enough. We try to do it right. When we have a revival meeting, it's right. Our music, it's right. Everything. We don't have that small church mentality to say, well, we're just going to do it enough to get by. We want to do it right. And I've dealt with small church mentality. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy thing to deal with as a pastor. And you just believe that God wants to do something great and mighty and wonderful. But sometimes we sit on these church pews and we start thinking it cannot happen here. It cannot take place here. Well, if God be God, make our plans large. If God be God, why don't we just start doing what He wants us to do and die to self and let God do the multiplying. When you die to self, you know what happens? People start seeing Christ and stop seeing us. And dear friends, if that could be the case, if every time I get up to preach, if people would see the Lord and not see me, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. You understand what I'm talking about? We have to have this vision to multiply. We have to understand that it's necessary to believe that God is able. We have to look at a corn of wheat and realize what happens if it's planted in the ground. One little corn of wheat can end up feeding the whole world. Well, I want you to know this church that runs 100 on a good Sunday, 100 to 110 or 120 normally on a good Sunday, this church could end up reaching the world if we'll die to self. This church isn't about making a name for East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. If it is, let's close up shop. It's not about Joe Shelton and who he is. It's not about the great singing. It's about the great God. And this church is here to make a name for Him. I'm not in a fight with any other church. A mile down the road, 10 miles down the road, 100 miles or across the nation. I'm not here to fight that. We're here to make a name for God. Now, we're going to fight the devil along the way. And we're going to name the names that need to be named along the way. And in doing so, It's going to be heretics. It's going to be people that are false, not people that we just differ opinions with. We understand that, right? But we have a responsibility. And that is to cause the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be spread abroad, locally and around the world, to multiply. It's necessary. How can that happen? How can it be? How can we multiply? You know, we're just not big enough. We just don't have enough money. And I'm going to tell you something. All those things have concerned me until I just realized we've got to do what God wants us to do and leave the rest up to Him. That's what matters, isn't it? I think about the rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus started naming off all the commandments. Don't commit adultery, you know. Don't do this. Don't do that. Remember the Sabbath, blah, blah, blah. All these different things. He kept saying this. He said, I've done all that since I was a child. And then Jesus said, after he called him good master, he said, there's none good but God. Now he says, now, if you're calling me good master and you're recognizing me as God, you'll be willing to do whatever it is I tell you to do. He said, go and sell all your goods. Distribute it out, you know? And the rich young ruler said, I'm leaving. And he left. And then there was a discussion. And Jesus said it'll be easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And the men that were standing there said, who then can be saved? And this was the answer that Jesus gave. And in the book of Matthew, he said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In other words, tonight as we think about East Lehigh Avenue Baptist Church and we look at it and we think with men it's impossible to do what we believe God wants done here. But with God all things are possible. Amen. Oh, we've got to get to that point in our lives. There was the boy that was filled up with the devil, if you will, and boy, he was just filled up with it, you know, and he would cut himself and he would ran and rave, and the Bible said that he would wallow and he would gnash his teeth. He had this spirit in him. He foamed at his mouth. He gnashed his teeth. He pined away. The Bible says that his father had brought him in to his disciples and asked his disciples to cast this devil out. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground, was wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it that this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Think about that. Can you imagine what this daddy was thinking? This daddy that loved his boy, and this daddy, when this child would go into these raging fits, this daddy would go and put his arms around him, his legs around him, and try to contain him, but he could not contain him. He was filled up with the devil. Can you imagine the scars and the marks on the father where he was fighting against this devil as this devil tried to control his little boy? And I'm telling you, it looked like a hopeless situation. He brings him to the disciples. And the Lord had told the disciples that they could do certain things like this. And had given them the power, the ability. These apostles, they had apostolic authority, if you will. They had different things that they could do that's not done today. But the Lord had given them this ability. And he says, in all times, it hath cast him into the fire. Can you imagine the scars from the fire on the boy? And then I think about the daddy as he jumped into the fire after him. I'm telling you, I'd do it. If my children were in a burning house, I'd charge that house. And I'd do everything I could. And into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can God? I'm asking you a question. Can God?
Can God what?
Can God whatever? Can God help us to multiply? Can God help us to reach a city that's dying and on its way to hell? Can God help us to reach family members that seemingly are lost and uncaring and undone? Can God help us if we'll die to self? God can do all things. If we believe, God's able. We don't have a small church mentality. May the Lord help us to never have that small church mentality. Think that it's not possible that these things be done. If God says it's what we're supposed to do, we just need to do it. It scares people to death to think about this. Well, you know, it might cost us something. That's right, it'll cost you death. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing will ever happen in this church until we're willing to die. Until we have to admit it's never about us. It's never about who we are, but it's about Him. And I think it's important for us to realize that. A vision to multiply. Then secondly, I think we have to have a vision to model, to be the example, if you will. Paul was writing to Timothy, young Timothy. He wasn't just extremely young, but the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 12, if you'll look there with me, please. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He's writing to Timothy, this young son, his son in the ministry, if you will. And he said, "Look, there's people going to have a problem with your age." Used to, that was my case, but I'm getting old enough now that it's not my age people have a problem with. It's everything else, but not my age. You know, I prayed the Lord would make me look distinguished as I got older. And I'm still praying and realizing that all things are possible, but I'm just not seeing it yet. Getting gray hair sometimes is a good thing. I first started pastoring when I was 25. I was green. Now here I am, 16 years later, still feeling like I don't know a lot. But he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example." Here's the thing that we have to realize tonight. That the world is looking and needs to see something that's real. How many of you know people that go to church every service but live like the devil? Or they go to church on Sunday and they come in, they'll talk about going to church and you talk to them about the Lord and, "Oh yes, I do this, I do that." You know, and then they curse, they drink, they swear. They have all these things that they do. Paul says, be an example. If we're going to have a vision, we're going to have a vision to model, to be the model Christian. How do you do that? Well, you have to be planted and die. The only way that this thing's ever going to do anything is it's got to be planted. And it's got to die. And when it dies, it'll bring forth fruit. The only way that we're going to make a difference in this world and be the right kind of Christians, we're going to have to die. It'd be terrible. Let's go across the internet and they get one little quip of it and all they hear is say, "I wish every one of my church members were dead." Some of y'all will get that about 12 tomorrow. He might be saying, "I wish my pastor would die. I wish you would too. Die to self. So I could be an example. An example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." They need to see something that's real, and they need to see something that's consistent, because the Bible says in verse number 13 of that same chapter, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." See, the Bible teaches us that we need to be consistent. I think we probably all battle this more than anything. We're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. We're on fire, somebody threw water on it. Isn't it the way it is? Look, I've come back so on fire, and then the first thing you do is you hear complaint, 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 complaint. And I'm like, ah, oh, there goes that fire. But it's about doing what God wants us to do. That's when the fire will keep burning. When we're not offended so easily. Blessed are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know how that happens? You die. You want to know when my feelings aren't hurt? It's when I'm dead to self. You want to know when my feelings get hurt? It's when I'm living for self. The only way it's going to happen, folks, we're going to have to die. You never thought you'd hear a preacher, your pastor, telling you, he wants you to die, did you? I don't want you to die literally. I want you to die spiritually to self. I want you to die to our dreams, our goals, our ideas, and get in on God's dreams, God's goals, God's vision as He reveals Himself. This is what has to happen. Every problem in our church would be solved that we have now if we'll die to self. Now, I want you to realize when we die to self and we begin to multiply, new problems come in. You remember over in Acts chapter number 6, it says the disciples multiplied and there arose a great murmuring. As we grow, there's going to be complaints. There's going to be, you know, well, I don't like how you do this. I don't like that. And you know, did you see what they wore? Did you see how they acted? Did you see this and did you see that? You know, if we're dying to self, we won't have all this problem. That was the problem in that early church. There were too many of them that were so busy trying to focus on self instead of on the Savior. To be a model, if we die to self, we'll be the model of believers. We'll be what it is God wants us to be. See, that's what we have to have. We must have a vision, because where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. They die. A vision to multiply, a vision to model. And then thirdly, a vision to minister. That's what we're here for, is to minister to this world. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I think that's some of the most convicting verses I've ever read in my life. If you've not read them, I want you to have your Bible right there and read them with me as we read them. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. Therefore, you can go back and read all these other things in this previous chapter, these several verses before, to understand why it is there, why that therefore is there. Talks about the greatness of God. Talks about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, it says in verse 18. And then in verse number 1, it says, therefore, because of these things we've just read in verse chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what ministry is all about. That's it. How can we have this vision for ministry, first of all, by prayer, by praying. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 5, and you know this verse so very well, chapter 5, verse number 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we've died to self, will be a righteous man. And their prayers will be effectual, and they'll be fervent, and they will avail. And that's how we can be the minister that God wants us to be. That's how we can be involved in the ministry, through prayer. Number two, through caring. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that completely takes care of the law, because it's fulfilled in that. No one can minister if they don't love. How many of you have ever met preachers? They preached a good message, but they had no love. Well, they preach the truth, and they'll get up and say, bless God, it's the truth whether you like it or not. You may not like what I'm saying, but it's the truth, and the truth's the truth, and the truth will stand when the world's on fire. And I don't care what you think about me. I want to tell you something, that's not a minister of the gospel. Because the Bible says that if we're going to do what God wants to do, we're going to love our neighbors ourselves. We're going to love our neighbor like we love our own children, if you will. And there's times when I have to get tough on my children, but I always love them. And even when I speak to them, I let them know I love them. When I have to correct them, it's because I love them. And I'll tell you, a preacher's not worth anything if he preaches the truth, but he has no love. He's not worth anything. And a church is not worth anything if we stand for the truth, but we have no love. Our ministry is nothing. In other words, when people walk through the door and they're not exactly what we think they ought to be, they're not dressed the way we think they ought to be dressed, or they're not acting the way we think they ought to be acting. Now, I'm not, you know, if they come in there in a really bad way and we have to take care of that, we will. But you understand what I'm saying? We ought never look at somebody when they come through the door and form an opinion of them because of how they look or how they're acting. We ought to love them because Jesus loves them. We ought to have this vision to minister. And how do we do that? Through prayer, through caring, and then number three, by sharing. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sharing. That's what the ministry is all about, isn't it? Praying and caring and sharing. Sharing about the joy of knowing Jesus. If there's one thing we ought to be able to share with others, it's the joy of knowing Jesus. We ought to be able to tell others what it is to be saved. To share in the wisdom that God's given to us. And by the way, God gives us wisdom to share with others, not to hold it in. You know, I've had people in my life who it seemed like to them their goal was to keep something from you. Because if they told you everything, then they feel like you'd be as smart as they were. Well, first of all, I don't think I could be as smart as hardly anybody else. But secondly, if some of these men would have shared some things with me, it would have helped me out as I tried to be a minister to others. As I tried to be a friend to others. Dealing with certain circumstances and certain situations. And I think anybody that knows me knows that I'm about as laid back as it comes in certain issues. And I just don't jump through a hoop over everything. Or I don't like that term. I just don't get riled up all the time. Now I do. My wife knows I do. But I try not to let anybody else know that I do. I try to pray about things and let the Lord handle things. And then if I have to, I'll deal with things. But some of these men, you know, I mean, they could have taught me how to deal with certain things that happened. And I try to do that with people. I'm not a wise man, but what wisdom I have, I want to share with others. I've got Chris working on something. I said, Chris, I want you to have 6 months of sermons prepared for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Because God's going to call you to pastor one of these days. And when he does, you're going to have to be ready for it. And I'm going to tell you, it's no fun being up late on Saturday night thinking, what am I going to preach tomorrow, because I don't have anything written down, you know? And then you want to get involved in the ministry, and you want to get involved talking to people and witnessing and trying to get this going and trying to get that going. And if you've got these things, then God will allow you to pull from that. By the way, you can't go wrong with preaching God's Word. Some people get awful upset when I can tell them a week or two or 3 weeks ahead this is what I'm going to be preaching, because they think, well, that's not blessed of God. But I tell you, I think it is, because I think things ought to be done decently and in order. We got to have that, you know? And then if God changes my mind, just like tonight, I wasn't going to preach on this tonight, but this is what God wanted me to preach on. And I'm glad He did, because I'm having a good time of it. And I think it's what we need. But you know, I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger. Of course, Chris isn't young, but when I was younger, before I started pastoring, I wish a preacher would have told me, prepare. Get prepared for this. Chris had a great deal of experience given to him because he went to Bible college, and I'm grateful for that. By the way, I ask Chris things all the time. I'll say, tell me what this means. He's actually gotten out his Greek Bible and helped me with stuff, you know. Get wisdom from him. Hopefully he can get some from me. But that's what we're in this together. We're in this to help make a difference in this world. Vision to most people, they say they want to cast a vision or vision sharing or visioneering or whatever. But it's revelation. It's not about me. It's about what does God have for this church. And by the way, when that's the way it is, when God gives me vision or when He reveals things to me and we're praying together and we're doing things right together, God will begin to reveal things to you and we'll go forward together following the vision that God has for us. And that's when it's all good, isn't it? So we see this. The vision to minister by praying, by caring and by sharing, and we share the joy of knowing Jesus. We share the wisdom. We share the words of life. We just make a difference. And I don't know how long God's going to let me live in this world. You know? But while I'm here, I want to make a difference. I'm 41. Hope I make it to 42. If not, I'm going to heaven. But however long God has for me, I just want to make a difference. I've been here 4.5 years, and I hope I've made some difference. But it's not about me. It's about, have I done it for the Lord? And you know, when people come up and give a pat on the back, that's great. And it is an encouragement when that happens. But when people walk out the door, I would rather hear, instead of what a great sermon, what a great Savior. What a great Bible we have. What great things God has done for us. Oh, if I could tell you all that I see happening in this church, it scares me. I promise you it'd scare you. If I could tell you about how I'd like to see us reaching more children and having a day camp across the street and having to build some buildings over there and all that it would take to get that done, especially in Tampa, Florida, because engineers have made it just impossible. No, they've made it safe. If I could tell you about things like that. If I could tell you about just what I'd like to see happen in the buildings that we have. If I could tell you about how many buses I'd like to see us run. But it's in God's time. See, it's not about what I desire. It's about us doing what God wants us to do. And when God wants us to have it, God will give it to us. If I could tell you how happy I was to see just the handful that was on the van this morning. And one of those handful trusted Christ as Savior. all right, isn't it? You can see families walking through the door and bringing their children in, having people excited about being in the house of God. Amen. Seeing the choir packed to capacity and getting more chairs than what we have up here and putting them down and having to stay up there while I'm preaching because there's not enough room out here. You know, well, preacher, that can never happen. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Where there is no vision, people perish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that we'll have this vision tonight, this revelation from Thee. I pray that You would be revealed to us and be revealed through us to others. Lord, may we get in on this thing and follow You. May I, as pastor, be led by the Spirit of God. And may our folks be led by the Spirit of God and follow You together as You call me to lead the church. May I lead as a shepherd that lovingly cares for the sheep and desires what's best. Lord, may we find those places where we can rest. Places, Lord, where we can get a cool drink of water. Places, Lord, where when our sheep are hurting, that the shepherd picks them up and carries them through. May we have the ministry, Lord, to where we do not walk in craftiness. We don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. But, Lord, we love people so much because we love You so much. Give us what we need tonight. May we respond as You beckon us to come. May we find our place in an altar, giving ourselves to Thee, dying to self, that we may multiply. Thank You for what You've already done. And I pray for what You're going to do, that we'll be obedient unto Thee. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Take our psalm books. 156.